This is Angel Connect, the podcast series, episode number 11, an interview with Vinod Kinney of Peachtree, suggestions for the aspiring angel investor and some success stories. In this episode of the Angel Connect podcast show, Hall Martin interviews Vinod Kinney of Peachtree at the Tycon Silicon Valley 2014 conference. Now, Vinod is part of the Indian Angel Network, which is India's largest angel group, and it takes investments from $100,000 all the way to $500,000. Even though the investments range across the board, the specialties he includes are technology, services, retail, and his involvement has been since the late 1990s. Now, he discusses with Hall Martin, the interviewer, the membership structure of the angel group, from the structure of the investments to the status of the membership and the consulting and the mentoring role of the group. Now, Vinod's deals focus on India, Middle East, and Southeast Asia geographies. But as you'll hear in this audio episode, Vinod distinguishes the roles of active investors versus the passive investors. Vinod also describes the syndication strategies from institutional members, especially across worldwide parties. And he includes examples of a very successful round as well as challenging ones in his experience. And in addition, he provides some suggestions for the aspiring angel investor, including the preparation for entering this arena. So let's listen in as Hall Martin interviews Vinod Kinney at the Tycon Silicon Valley 2014 conference. Let's listen in.
This is Angel Connect at Tycon Silicon Valley 2014. I'm here with Vinod Kinney of Peachtree, an angel group in India. Thank you for joining us. Can you tell us more, Vinod, about your group?
Thank you. I'm part of the Indian Angel Network, which is India's largest angel group. 250-plus members across India, primarily consisting of members who are successful entrepreneurs, businessmen, as well as CXOs of large corporations. We typically tend to do a fair number of transactions every year. Our investments range anywhere from about 8 to 12 a year, and we typically take on investments that are between $100,000 to $500,000. And we invest across the board, across sectors, but we typically tend to focus on technology, services, as well as things like retail and hospitality.
Great. And so you have quite a membership there. Can you tell us about the membership? Where do they come from and what categories they're in and what their experience is with angel investing?
So within the membership, we have members who are successful entrepreneurs, people who have sort of run companies themselves, but also we also have a fair number of members who are managing venture funds themselves too, but want to invest as individuals and look at some of these early stage companies before other funds sort of take an active interest in investing in them. But we also end up with members who are sort of doing this just for the fun of it, only because of the fact that they enjoy mentoring and working with early stage companies and helping them scale up. And a fair number of them also end up being CXOs, CEOs and you know, managing directors of large or mid-sized corporations who have done fairly well and want to sort of give back to the community and sort of support entrepreneurship.
What kind of membership rules do you have? Do people sign formal membership documents, or is it much more of an informal grouping of people together?
So it's a mixture of both. So we typically have people who sign up formal membership documents, and we end up not necessarily with people who are going to be active angels. And I say active angel members who sort of volunteer to actually be active in sourcing deals, evaluating and doing the due diligence on these deals, and also on behalf of the membership, actually negotiating and structuring the investments. Then there are passive investors who typically will go out and invest once a deal is announced and then put some money as part of the investment, but don't necessarily take an active role. But then we tend to have more passive investors than active investors, and that's a challenge that we're sort of now trying to sort of alleviate and try and figure out how do we get more and more of our members to be active. But there's no requirement as such for the investor group. The investors can be either active or passive. It's all dependent on the interest that a particular angel member has in a particular deal and what kind of involvement they want to have.
How many deals have you done so far, and how much funding have you raised for those deals?
So Personally, I have been investing since the late 90s, and my association with the Indian Angel Network started out in 2006. So between 2006 and now, I have, through the network, done almost close to about 15 of them. And then outside of the network, through a syndicate that I also sort of formally belong to, I've done a close to about another 15 deals. So overall, personally, I've got about 30 deals. And these are focused in India, Southeast Asia, and the Middle East.
Right. And does your group have a fund or a sidecar fund, or do they plan to put one together?
No, there's no interest in doing that. A, because we already have institutional members who sort of are also participating in this as syndicate members. So there's no interest, but then, you know, individual members tend to go out and explore ways of actually trying to collaborate with each other and trying to put up a formal fund. But so far, nothing has come out of it.
You mentioned syndication. Do you work with other angel groups and institutional partners, and how do you work with them on these deals?
So typically for our early stage deals on the first rounds, we don't normally find them to be syndicated, except in very rare instances where the capital required is much larger than what we can sort of provide, and in which case then we go back to our institutional members. So we have a bunch of institutional members who sort of also come out and syndicate, and these include Google Ventures and Intel and Axel and you know, folks like that. But sometimes, you know, when we come on for follow-on investments, typically in those situations, institutional investors who are sort of stepping in as lead investors bring us back in as to invest as well, so that we continue to be involved in those companies and help mentor and support the entrepreneur as they scale up. And because they see the value add beyond the capital that we provide as mentors to the enterprise.
Do you syndicate with groups in the U.S. and how do you handle the distance and the time zone difference there?
So we have actually done one deal, which is a U.S. entity, and we have invested into the U.S. entity, and that actually has a syndicated partner, which happens to be an institutional investor. And that's a fund out of Seattle called Madrona. And we have done the syndicated deal with them in a company called MobileWala, which was based out of Atlanta, but also has operations in Singapore and India as well. And that one was one where Madrona decided that they wanted to bring IAN, which is the Indian Angel Network, in because of the fact that the IAN could essentially help mentor and support the entrepreneur as they're growing. And two, because of the fact that we had a fairly strong presence in Asia, be able to provide the key networks as well as introductions to potential customers in Asia for the company and the company's product. And that has continued. The association or the affiliation with Madrona continues. So when we did a follow-on round, Madrona invested and IAN and its members also invested again. And we're just doing a bridge round. And that bridge round again is led by Madrona and also providing additional funds.
Great. Give us an example of a really great angel and experience you had with investing in a deal, and then we'll follow up with one that may have been more challenging.
Okay. So there was one that I'll talk about, which was a very successful investment for us as a network, and that's a company called Dhruva, which was incubated literally by the network. These were two very, very bright young engineers who had just graduated, and they were starting up a tech company out of India, and we primarily help them not only with the seed capital, but also in sort of helping them scale the business, helping them sort of really go out and refine their offering, helping them, you know, go out and market the offering, as well as ultimately move the company, because a fair number of its customers were in the U.S. and North America. We actually helped the company move to the U.S. But during this entire time frame, in addition to being actively involved with the company, not only at the board level, but also helping them, you know, mentor and support them and sort of bring them introductions to customers, we were also sort of instrumental in helping them raise institutional capital. And they raised institutional capital from Sequoia and then from Nexus. And then subsequent to that, just now when the Series C was happening, they actually provided a partial exit to the network members. And that has turned out to be a return of almost 30x. Investment in a matter of 4 years, and that was one of the most successful ones, but it also one where there was a fair amount of effort involved by the membership in actually helping the company scale up, and that's, you know, something that we're all extremely proud of, and the fact that all our efforts have actually been, you know, helping in companies scaling up.
Can you give us an example of something that didn't work out quite as well, and what would you have done differently if you could do it over again?
So there's one deal which where I'm involved, and I have been brought into it to be an active participant in actually helping the company. And this company actually started out with a product which had a great potential and a lot of promise. But then the partners actually fell out, and during the whole process, the management team literally walked out. They had challenges with their product, and they had challenges in the product being accepted by the marketplace. And then over a period of time, because of all the challenges that they're facing, they actually ran out of money. And the network had to step in, actually help with, you know, additional funds till the product was completed and was able to get back into the market. And then go back again and help them really refine the product and the offering and help them scale up. Has been a very, very difficult task. Still not out of the woods yet. And hopefully will be out of the woods if they are able to go out and raise an additional round of financing from institutional investors. I think in those situations where we have multiple partners and where we have promoters or companies where there are multiple founders, we also want to make sure that our share purchase agreements and our agreements with the founders are much more watertight, which they were not earlier. And I think what we also sort of felt there was because the entrepreneurs were experienced and had run startups earlier, we, I think, assumed the fact that they would be able to actually do a lot of the things by themselves without necessarily providing them the support. And I think we were not really proactive. So one of the things there was the fact that I think the group that was actually involved actively in supporting that company was not as proactive. And if they had been more proactive, I think those deals would have probably been, you know, much more successful, or they would have probably found where the problems were, identified those problems, and be able to provide a solution to actually help them. I think that's now starting to happen with other people getting involved, and I think that actually helps in actually scaling these companies. Part of the lesson for us from this is that we can't necessarily be passive, and especially considering the fact that some of these are very early and are not very mature, and in a market like India where the environment is so dynamic, proactive other than just being investors.
Well, you bring up a good point, strong due diligence and ongoing monitoring of the deals. How much due diligence do you do on a new deal when it comes in, and number of hours or number of people looking at it?
So I'll sort of give you an example. There was a deal that I'm doing right now, which is just on the verge of closing. This company presented to us last year in September, and they were essentially going out and providing ESG research through a technology platform, very similar to what Bloomberg would do. But this was primarily on ESG research on listed companies in emerging markets. We started looking at this company in September last year. I started due diligence along with a group in October. And by the time we finished, it was almost end of February. So there are deals that have sort of taken 3-4 months, maybe because of the fact that we wanted to get our due diligence right, but we also wanted to dig a lot more deeper, A, because of the markets that they were in, or B, because of the product that they were sort of really going out and selling. But then typically most deals get done anywhere between 4 to 5 weeks from the time that they were presented, which essentially means that the due diligence on the business side, on the technology side, gets done prior to the investment. And then once the investment is committed after the term sheet, we actually go out and do our financial and legal due diligence, and that typically takes about 2 weeks.
That's right. What would you tell another group starting an angel network? What would you want them to know before they start one based on your experience?
So I think, one, you clearly want to make sure that if you're bringing in members and trying to create a network, that you have active members who are really interested in actually being part of not only the network, but actually helping these companies. If you really bring passive investors and nobody's really out there to actively support and work with these startups, then the group will not be able to sustain itself, because passive money by itself is not going to be sufficient. You'll also need to actually make sure that enough people within the network will have the ability and the willingness to be able to actually go out and work with these companies and help them and provide them support whenever it's needed. And it's a job where you're not necessarily getting paid for it, because, you know, these are purely voluntary. So which also means that you can't necessarily be somebody who says, I just want to make an investment, but have to have some level of passion or some level of interest in wanting to be an angel investor, and also wanting to actually be able to actually go out and say, I really find satisfaction not only in the returns I'm getting from my investments, but the fact that I'm actually supporting and helping all these entrepreneurs really grow.
You have any closing words here for other angel investors, individuals who want to do angel investing? What would you tell them to do before they started to do angel investing? How should they prepare?
So I think, you know, you need to look at groups and networks a lot more closely, see who's part of it, what kind of investments they have done, essentially look at track record, and more importantly, how you are in a position to be able to attract deals, because ultimately the success of a network is dependent on the kind of deals that they're able to bring to the table. So do they have the ability to actually be able to bring deals to the table, and the ability to bring good deals to the table, as well as the ability for them to actually be able to support and mentor owners? And I think these are things that they actually need to look as well. But in addition to that, will they have the ability to actually sustain the investment? Because a lot of people, due to whatever reasons, may not necessarily be able to do and continue doing this, but you should be in a position to sustain it over a period of time, because some of these, you may not necessarily end up recovering your investment at all.
That's very true. Not everybody is a 30x home run win.
Absolutely.
In these deals.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, Vinod, thank you so much for taking time to join us today on Angel Connect, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you for the invitation.